We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Hour numero dos. Stop laughing at me. At some point, okay, in fairness, I've been doing this gig 13-ish years now. This is true, not to besmirch the good name of former employers, although those of you who are listening to me back home in the beautiful Florida panhandle are laughing at that right now. This is the first time, I told you yesterday, the first time I've ever sat face-to-face with a producer and been able to actually interact face-to-face. It's also the first time that I have had my own mic switch that I can turn on and off at will. It's a cough drop, man.
So what you're saying is you're that much of a radio diva that you don't turn your own microphone on and off.
Why would I do that when you're here, Diesel? Why would I reach all the way over here and touch this button when I can just hang up my headphones and expect you to be there for me?
You know, I don't know if I could say this phrase on the air. So I'm going to probably
say it off the air.
I'm going to not. But do you remember in Big Daddy when the little boy was so excited to announce to the world that he wipes his own blank? That's you right now.
Listen, they flew me up here. That's not true. I flew myself up here to be a part of this.
Delta flew you up here.
Delta flew me up here to be a part of this. I don't think it's too much to ask for me not to have to move my arm from here to here. Okay? I don't think it's that much to ask that I don't have to swivel my chair 9 degrees to the right and reach 8 inches over here to push this yellow button. I think I don't want to be a diva. Also, I also want to point out that breakfast has yet to be catered while I've been here. So we're slacking off a little.
Sales, get on that.
Sales!
Endorsement opportunities.
Everybody here is like, well, hope you enjoyed your audition, jackass. Get back on the plane. Welcome back to ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure is mine. Thank you for joining us. If you want to be in touch with the program, 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. You can also text us at 71307. Start your text with ESPN. A couple of texts that came in earlier. ESPN and people say college athletes shouldn't be paid LOLOLOLOL. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. I am a pay the players guy. I don't necessarily think we need to be giving them 6-7 figures for the gig.
No.
But it is a little difficult for me to rationalize contracts of $100, $200, $300 million a year for TV services to watch these guys play, knowing that if they get a career-ending injury, that's it.
I am of the general camp, pay the players, not that much. Just, you know, a little bit, and then allow them to receive it once they graduate.
Another text I got, let's see. ESPN completely disagree with the assessment that moving on from Ron Rivera is the wrong move for Carolina. The franchise has never had back-to-back winning seasons. Sure, he won 3 division titles, but the common perception of him is that Cam Newton bailed him out for years and years. Don't even get me started on the missed opportunities quote from every press conference after a loss. It was time. Hey, look, I get it. If you're a 500 ball coach, that's the thin line that you walk. And I get the fact that since Super Bowl 50, you had one playoff appearance in the wild card round, and the New Orleans Saints basically wiped you out that year. So I get it. I'm not saying that moving on from Ron Rivera was the wrong move. I'm saying moving on from Ron Rivera and bringing in Matt Rhule, I don't know that that was the right move. That was the point that I was making. But I get where you're coming from. Let me ask you a quick question, Diesel. Are you a shoe guy? You a sneaker guy? Sneakerhead?
I'm not. I'll wear the same pair of shoes until basically my heels are showing through them.
I don't know. just go buy new shoes, man. I'm not saying you have to spend. Here's why I bring this up. I'm on Twitter yesterday, at the Rob Brown Show, if you want to follow me on Twitter, at the Rob Brown Show. And I'm flipping around on Twitter, and I come across a website or a Twitter handle that I follow that basically goes on Amazon and it finds things that are on sale for big sale discounts and then just aggregates them in your feed so you can go on there and get a 374-pack of toilet paper for 17 cents kind of thing, right? And yesterday, one of the things that came up was a pair of Yeezys. You know Yeezys are? They're the tennis shoes that Kanye has designed.
Oh, I'm sure they're breathtaking.
They're ugly, as the kids say, AF. They're awful. They look like my granny took a flat piece of rubber and then knitted a sweater in the shape of the shoe over the top of it. They're awful. And I looked at the sale price, and the caption was something along the lines of, own these Yeezys for 30% off of retail price. Current price only, $265. Sneakerheads, why? Then I got a notice to buy some new Jordans. And as I'm looking at the Jordans, they're going for like $195 for the basic low-top Jordans, not even like the basketball shoes. I don't get the sneaker fad. I don't understand it.
Well, you know those class of people who are sort of into anything and they're cool? And then there's that next level.
I don't know anyone cool in my life.
Okay. There's that next level of person who takes it way too seriously. Sneakerheads are the take it way too seriously group. They're the ones who will go and drop $500-$600 on a pair of shoes and never wear them.
That's my thing,
because
though.
It's a collector's item. It's not. See, I buy shoes because it's something you wear.
Right.
That keeps you from stepping on rocks and poo. And that's what a shoe is to me. To them, a shoe is a piece of art, regardless of how good looking it is, regardless of whether or not it fits with their lifestyle and or their wardrobe. It's a piece of art to them.
Do you collect anything? Do you collect anything? Like not it doesn't even matter if it's weird or anything. Do you just collect anything at all? You don't have to even say it for this.
Yeah, I used to collect music.
Right.
Like I would buy an album.
Albums?
Albums, and I would buy an entire catalog from an artist, regardless of whether or not I liked the album or not, but I'd had to have it. If I had the first five albums in their collection or in their catalog, I had to buy 6, 7, 8, and 9.
But that makes sense to me. Okay, that makes sense to me because I can get something out of music, right?
Sure.
I can go home and no matter what mood I'm in, sad, somber, happy, energetic, excited, I can dig through because I collect vinyls too. I've got like 500 of them. I can go to the house, I can get out my big blue Tupperware tub with all my albums in it, and I can scroll through until I find whichever album at that moment is going to be exactly what I need. I get that. But if I go buy a new pair of Yeezys that are just white sneakers, fabric, right? They don't even make them out of leather anymore. They're sewn together fabric on a piece of rubber. And I buy this pair of Yeezys for 260 some odd bucks. And I take said Yeezys and I bring them to the house and I put them on a shoe rack in the closet and then I never wear them. Because who's going to wear shoes they paid 260 bucks for? What am I getting out of that? I'm never going to be in a... There's no point that I'm going to take the Rex Ryan approach of, you know, I could really go home and look at things that go on my feet right now and get turned on by that. I don't understand it. You know what would make me feel really great right now? The red and blue Jordans. Like, no. I don't get it. All right. Let me tell you what we got coming up in this hour because I'm very excited about it. Coming up in the next segment. And I think if it's all right, Diesel, you tell me. We may run a break just a couple of minutes early if we can do that. Sweet. Because when we come back, I'm going to have an interview for you with a gentleman by the name of Jay Busby. Jay works for Yahoo Sports. He has been a friend of mine for as long as I've been doing this job. Jay has graduated. He used to cover golf and NASCAR for Yahoo. Now he is their NFL guy. He will be in Miami for the Super Bowl. He is everything that Yahoo does for NFL. It all runs through Jay Busby. He is going to join us coming up in the next segment of the show. He is always a phenomenal interview, so stick around for that. Then coming up at 1:30, I am going to make my official Super Bowl pick, and I'm going to tell you the three players and one group that are going to win the game for the squad that I believe will host the Lombardi coming up on Sunday evening. So my official Super Bowl pick coming up at 1:30. Then at 1:45 this afternoon, I have brought with me, Diesel, what I call my Ric Flair take. Ric Flair, of course, notorious for being the bad guy, embracing the bad guy. I am going to give you the one sports radio take that I have made in my career. Every station I've ever been on, it has made me a hated man. And I'm going to see if I can keep the streak alive. Let's go ahead and run to our first break a couple minutes early. Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports will join us on the program when we come back. My name is Rob Brown. Thank you so much for joining us. Diesel's pushing the button, switching the switches. We'll be right back. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. Stick around.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Diesel like a field general in the studio.
Mark, get out!
Jay's on! Mark, get out! Mark Ryan pops in here for like a second. For the first time in the 8 years I've known Mark, he's like, hey man, you're doing great. The show sounds phenomenal. Your show prep's impressive. Everything's going really well. First time in 8 years Mark Ryan's being nice to me, and Diesel's like, Mark, get the hell out of here! What's wrong with you?
By the way, remind me to tell you the story about how he got scared of a dog behind a fence and jumped into a pickup truck to get away from it.
I absolutely will have no problem reminding you to tell me that story, because that's one that's going to stick with me for a long time, I think. All right, let's go to the phone line. I want to welcome in a dear friend of mine, a gentleman that I've had the pleasure to speak with on the radio and off for the better part of more years than I feel comfortable admitting in public. From Yahoo Sports, my very dear friend Jay Busby joins us. Jay, welcome to ESPN Upstate here in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina, my friend.
What's going on, man? I was just traveling through Greenville not too long ago. It's a lovely town.
I was going to say, this is the first time I've been here, and there's a lot of things I'm really excited about. I'm excited to be this close to Charlotte and Charlotte Motor Speedway and the Carolina Panthers. And obviously, we've got Carolina hockey. We've got the Hornets right here in Greenville. They've got a single-A baseball team. They've got a lower division hockey team. There's so much here. But, dude, this part of the country is like a hidden little gem, man. It is gorgeous here. Have you ever been in this area before for like a vacation or anything?
And not for a vacation, but I've driven through plenty of times. We were just there, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say the names of barbecue joints on the show, you know, a little free sponsorship or whatever. But, man, we had some darn good barbecue driving through Greenville not too long ago. And so, yes, I could eat my way around that town for the better part of a decade and still not be full.
So I am auditioning for this gig right now, and I'm in town for one more night, Jay. So at the risk of getting the job, I kind of need to know that barbecue joint, because I'm fat and hungry, and I need to make sure I hit it on the way out of town.
The one that I went to was called Mutt's, and it's got a big old buffet, so that should take care of you real well.
Diesel, can you confirm?
Can confirm.
Excellent. Can confirm. Got it. It's in
there
the notes.
Go. Good deal.
I have deleted my entire rest of the show prep just to save the name of that restaurant to make sure that I have it in the records. Let's start with this, Jay, because I have been working on an assumption. Are you headed to the Super Bowl this year? Are you going to cover it in person this year?
Not this year. We've got people on the ground this year, so I will be covering from afar, but I'll be all over it as always. So, yeah, it should be a hell of a matchup.
Let me ask you, Jay Busby of YahooSports.com, joining us here on the program. Let me ask you this. Yesterday on the show, I said that my difference maker, the one guy that I think is actually going to make a difference, and it'll only be one or two plays but will win the game, I think George Kittle is the best player in football. Not that he's necessarily the MVP per se, because I traditionally think, like everybody else does, that's a quarterback award now. But George Kittle's a guy who can block like the best left tackle. He can run with anybody. He can catch any pass. And when he does, his YEC is ridiculous. Am I out of line that saying George Kittle might be the best overall player in football?
Well, probably. But you know what? I'll give you that. I think I like you getting out on that limb. I'm proud of you. I think that he is the kind of guy that absolutely can make a difference in the Super Bowl. And if you define a guy by how much he helps his team and helps his team win a Super Bowl, then yeah, you got a point, because nobody is going to has the potential outside of the quarterbacks to have as much of an impact on this game as Kittle, because he could be involved in one of those crucial plays. You know, think of it this way, you know, San Francisco's down 4 points, under 2 minutes left. They're driving, they get into a third and long situation. Who do you go for? Bang, you hit Kittle on a short little 8-9 yard route. He can take it. He can take the hit. He can move the ball forward. And that's the kind of thing that I think that San Francisco is really going to rely on, is to have this kind of post-Gronk tight end here absolutely changing the game and changing the field for them.
You know, I don't have to imagine, because if you flip back a couple of months, you'll remember the 49ers at the Saints in a game that eventually ultimately came out being for the number one seed. They get down to the end. Drew Brees leads a go-ahead touchdown drive late. And then all of a sudden, here comes this George Kittle cat who gets out away from a linebacker in coverage, just stiff arms into the shadow realm, and then ends up carrying four Saints defensive backs down into field goal range by himself. Kansas City knows this is coming. They know that he's that threat, especially if the game is close. But what can you do to stop this cat?
I mean, I'm thinking like lead pipes tucked in your pads, you know, just kind of pop the guy in the leg.
The
Tonya
Harding approach. I like it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, go old school, you know, bring back an old classic, kneecap the guy. I mean, that's the problem. It's the problem with Kittle. It's the problem that you have with Gronk. These guys are so big and so fast and so talented that if you commit too many resources to them, then something else is open around the field. Now, the question that you have is Jimmy Garoppolo a good enough quarterback to be able to take advantage of those possibilities and those openings? If the Chiefs go and overload on Kittle, can Garoppolo go and make the necessary adjustment? Remember, he hasn't thrown a whole lot of passes in the last few weeks. So can he make those adjustments? That's the key. But, yeah, obviously Kittle completely changes the balance of the entire game, very much in San Francisco's favor if you're talking about a short yardage reception situation.
Let me ask you a very open-ended question, and it's one that I've been asked a handful of times, and I have changed my answer based on what day of the week it is. Is Jimmy G the real deal? Is Garoppolo the real deal? Is he a guy who can win this Super Bowl by being the quarterback that enters the first name club with Drew and Tom and Russell and the rest, or is he just a game manager that's going to need to be carried?
I think he's somewhere between the two, but I think he's a little closer to the latter than the former. I think he's kind of a Peyton Manning in 2015 sort of guy, where he's not going to lose you the game, but he's not going to win you the game either. He's not a guy that can go and absolutely take over the game completely, but he's not going to be a kind of guy that you have to work around. It doesn't seem like, and I am more than happy to be proven wrong, but he just does not seem to be yet at that level where you can say, all right, you got 90 seconds to take it down the field, take care of business. And it doesn't seem, you would be a lot more comfortable with Patrick Mahomes or several other guys in that situation. Maybe that's the test. Maybe that's the test. You know, the 90-second touchdown test. Would you trust Jimmy Garoppolo or Patrick Mahomes? I think that 99 out of 100 people would say Mahomes in that case.
When we're talking about San Francisco, to me, the difference is, and at the risk of spoiling my next segment here, the difference in this game is San Francisco's ability not just to run the ball, but to utilize the run to set up Jimmy Garoppolo to be able to throw the ball successfully. You're talking about the three-headed monster with Mostert and Breida. You're talking about a team that can run a number of formations, and if you get to the point where you're slowing down running backs, they can throw Juszczyk in there to kind of give you the old-school power eye look or the wing T. I mean, this team can do anything with the run game. Is that the key to this weekend?
I think it sets up the key. Yeah, you want to have misdirection. You want the defense to always be guessing. It's like in poker. You always want your opponents to have to make a choice. You don't want to just check and let them kind of check their way around. You always want the defense to be having to make a choice. Do we cover this guy? Do we cover this guy? Do we cover this formation? Do we cover this formation? If you have the defense able to sit back in zone coverage and take care of business all on its own, then all of a sudden you've given the defense a huge advantage. If the defense doesn't know whether someone might come out of nowhere out of the backfield and just absolutely gash out 20 yards, then you've got the defense on its heels, and that's what you want. And that sets up, as you say, Jimmy Garoppolo.
This is Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports joining us here on ESPN Upstate. You want to follow him on Twitter. It's at JAYBUSBEE, at Jay Busby on Twitter. Let's flip to the other side of the ball for just a minute, talk some Kansas City Chiefs, and start with Andy Reid, 61 years old. Guy has been kind of held up the last couple of years in Kansas City by everybody with Pat Mahomes and the talent that's been there. And then all of a sudden, the Chiefs this year look like world beaters. Is this a renaissance for Andy Reid, or is this the Chiefs dragging him along with just the sheer talent that they have, or some combination of that?
I don't know if it's so much of a renaissance. I like that.
We have to be dramatic, Jay. It's the business. You know that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I know. I just meant the pronunciation of it. But I think that it's absolutely a situation where Andy Reid is finally having everything break his way. I mean, he's historically known for not having the best kind of late game clock management. And I think that kind of applies on a macro level too. He can get much like a Braves manager that I loved so much back in the day, Bobby Cox. He was great in the regular season. He couldn't quite get it done in the postseason in most cases. And so I think that this is an opportunity for Andy Reid to show that he can use all of his knowledge, all of his skills, all of his abilities, and all of his weapons that he's got now to bring it on home. I don't think that by any means this is a team that is constructed despite him. I think this is a team that is the purest distillation of the kind of multifaceted offense that he likes to run.
Patrick Mahomes, obviously breakout year for him. Not even breakout. I mean, he's just doing what he did last year, just a little bit better. This is a Chiefs team that over the past couple of years has really started to move towards that wide-open offense, and Pat Mahomes with the no-look passes and sidearms and throwing across his body, breaking the laws of physics somehow. Is Patrick Mahomes a revolution at the spot of quarterback? I mean, I remember when Mike Vick started doing this kind of stuff, and everybody said, Mike Vick is about to change the way we look at quarterbacks. And he did to some degree, but it never really felt like we moved all the way into having all 32 teams with a Mike Vick-style quarterback. Are NFL teams going to start looking to find Patrick Mahomes's, or are we just going to realize that this guy is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime talent we're lucky to watch?
I think it's both. I mean, I think the teams are certainly going to be looking for him, but the problem with 32 teams running a Mike Vick or 32 teams running a Patrick Mahomes, there aren't 32 Patrick Mahomes out there. There aren't even three Patrick Mahomes out there. It's a guy that has a unique skill set and the ability to both visualize the most absurd possible scenario and then execute that scenario. And so that's a very, very limited pool. I think what it does do is it gives offensive coordinators the ability to open up their game plan if they know that their quarterback can pull off something more. But man, it's a tight window. It's a very limited pool of talent that you can draw from. I think that all teams would love to have that. I can think of one team, the Bears, that would absolutely love to a redo on the draft so they let Mahomes get past them. But there's just not that many Mahomes out there.
Talking with Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports as we head towards Super Bowl Sunday. All right, Jay, I'm going to turn you loose, open-ended. Who's going to win Sunday and why? I know that's a very difficult question, but...
Well, I'm still not convinced that the damn Patriots aren't going to come out of nowhere and win this thing. I mean, I am still not certain they're not going to somehow manage to win another title. But that notwithstanding, I think that the Chiefs learned a tremendous amount, both from losing last year in overtime to the Patriots and then very nearly getting taken out by the Texans this year. I think this is a team that learned, you know, the cliche that you've got to lose one before you win one. They have learned that you can't go and take anything seriously. Even if they get up by 20 points, they're not going to go and take it. They're not going to go and let their foot off the gas. I think the Chiefs have too much talent. It's going to be a lot of fun, but I think Kansas City gets this one done.
Kansas City intrigued me after that Texans game when it got to 21-0, and Twitter was just a riot as far as people cracking down on the Chiefs. Here they go again. This is what they do. And then they ran out of fireworks scoring points, which was my favorite part of the playoffs. But that Jay, was the first time that I looked at Andy Reid and Mahomes, and it wasn't a, this team's really good, let's see if they can do it. It was, this team's really good, and they're gonna do it. I mean, they came out after getting embarrassed in the first quarter and laid down what I think. I mean, is it unfair to call that the most dominant performance of the NFL season as a whole?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, most down 28 points in the second quarter. I mean, what they knew, what they understood was that the mistakes that had cost them, that had put them in that 24-point hole, were mistakes that they didn't always make. The guys were missing easy catches. Guys were fumbling on kickoffs. These kinds of mistakes that they don't normally make. And so they realized that this was not them getting beaten. This was them beating themselves. And once they got that taken care of, once they realigned that and fell back more in line with their average, they did exactly what they've done all season. And that's a huge lesson to learn, to be able to keep your composure in that kind of drama.
Jay Busby is from Yahoo Sports. He covers the National Football League for them. Of course, I will always remember him as the guy from the marbles and devil ball golf. Jay, you are a longtime buddy of mine. I am very grateful to have you on the show here on ESPN Upstate. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we can go back to making this a routine thing, my man.
ESPN Upstate, do the right thing. Hire Rob. Give him a contract. He needs to be on your airwaves. This man is outstanding. I love him. Hire him now.
Thank you, buddy. And by the way, we're renegotiating. You're getting 5% on the next contract.
Sweet. I love it.
Jay, thank you, buddy. Good to talk to you as always, my friend. That's Jay Busby, yahoosports.com. You can follow him on the Twitter device at Jay Busby, JayBusBee. He is one of the most entertaining follows on Twitter, and you will not regret that. He talks a little bit of everything. Like I said, I used to have Jay on the show years ago back in Fort Walton Beach, Destin, when I was hosting there, and he covered the PGA and NASCAR for the blogs of Yahoo. This is before Yahoo Sports really blew up. He's been with me as a friend and as a broadcasting colleague ever since then, and I am very, very happy to have him on here on ESPN Upstate. Again, JayBusBee. Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. Let's go ahead and run to a break. When we come back here in mere moments, I guess it's about that time for Diesel and I to go on the record and make our Super Bowl picks. There are three guys in this game that work together that are going to win this game. I'll tell you who for when we come back. My name is Rob Brown. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. Stick around. Are you comfortable saying that on air, that thing that you were just talking about?
Yeah. So I told you the Mark Ryan Rottweiler story.
Yes. I was listening last week, and I heard Mark talking about his Super Bowl Sunday plans, where he's going to hop parties of listeners, and he told the story about being chased after by a dog and ending up in the back of the pickup truck. But you just told me
the real story,
the point of view, the POV story from a guy there to witness it, and it's so much better.
Well, we've told the story on the air, but there was a chain link fence between him and some big dogs, but they came out of the darkness. And that fight or flight kicks in, and he jumps into the bed of a pickup truck, bangs his knee on it, and he's limping as he walks into the house to come and actually watch the game. But you told me that he made it sound like he was some sort of an action star who sprung into action and, you know, like hurdled the bed of this pickup truck. And I said, you know who Mark Ryan is? Mark Ryan is JD from the show Scrubs.
JD from Scrubs.
You know, that really nerdy guy. And since I know he's listening, I'll say it, kind of effeminate. But in his own mind, it's a lot cooler than it really was. Like, in his own mind, he's standing up to Dr. Cox.
Right, right, right.
But Mark Ryan, I don't think he's got it in him.
Mark Ryan stars.
He's going to come in right now and say, you're fired. Get out of here. You can't talk about the APD that way.
Mark, I've got an open mic right here if you would like to come in and address this. You are more than welcome to. Mark Ryan is JD from Scrubs. I think that might be my favorite take from so far 4.5 hours of radio here at ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown.
I'm full of them.
He is Diesel. Coming up at 3 o'clock today, JD from Scrubs, a.k.a. Mark Ryan, will be here to take over. All right, let's talk Super Bowl. So that, because I also realized that Mark still has to say whether I get this job or not. So all of this is Diesel, by the way, Mark. This is entirely him. I had nothing to do with this. All right. Let's talk San Francisco. Let's talk Kansas City. There is one group in this game that I think ultimately wins the game for them, and it is for the team that is an underdog. Only a point and a half dogs. It's not a huge gap. But San Francisco, I think, ultimately wins this Super Bowl, and I'll tell you why. It is a group of guys that have been absolutely monstrous throughout the year. It is a group of guys that have opened up the game for the Emmanuel Sanders and the George Kittles of the world to do the damage that they have done this year. It is a group of guys that have forced defenses to stay honest and allowed Jimmy G, who Jay Busby just said was halfway between game manager and legitimate NFL championship caliber quarterback. And that is the running back group of San Francisco. Now, why is that going to be the important this weekend? Let's start with the cliche reason. The one reason you've all heard, the one reason you all know, the obvious one. By the way, if you'd like to comment on any of this, 844-GSP-ESPN's the number, or shoot us a text at 71307. Start that text with ESPN so it filters to us. Patrick Mahomes is in a special group of quarterback that there's only one way to beat. Do you know what it is? It's not pressure. It's keeping him squarely seated on the bench alongside his offensive teammates and off the field for as much of the game as is possible. There is no way to stop Patty M from doing Patty M things. The only thing you can do is hope to slow him down and pray that they don't run out of touchdown fireworks again. So what do the Niners have to do? They have to run the ball, and they have to do it a lot. The good news for them is that they have been doing that, have been doing it successfully. Go back to the NFC Championship game. What did we have in Raheem Mostert? 220, four touchdowns against a Green Bay defense that was supposed to be very solid up front. Four TDs, 220 on the ground. And then you have Matt Breda, who despite missing a handful of games with an injury, was still a 500-plus yard back. And then you have Tevin Coleman, who despite having a couple of misses, was a 500-plus yard back. And both of them, although only getting 500-plus yards, which is impressive for the amount of games that they missed, both of them came up huge in a couple of clutch games all season long. That's what they do. Now, before we get too deep down that rabbit hole, I do want to make one point, and it is this. Green Bay was not that good. Green Bay was a 10-6 team parading as a 13-3, 14-3 football team. Green Bay was vastly overrated. And I said this yesterday, there were about six games in the last 3 weeks of the season where if any one of them goes a different direction, Green Bay is going on the road, Green Bay is going to be hosting a road team in the wild card round, going on the road in the divisional round, and I do not believe that they would have made the NFC Championship game. They weren't that good, but that's why San Francisco trounced them. So, here's the thing I love about the Niners in this game, and we talked about it briefly with Jay Busby in the last segment. If you missed it, it'll be archived on the website. You'll be able to go listen to that interview. It's a good one. The Niners are capable and very successful at running the ball from a load of formations. They have three backs with three different styles, and my favorite part of this whole thing, they have a Pro Bowl fullback who is a threat everywhere that they can throw in as a wrench in the system. When they throw Kyle Juszczyk back there as a fullback, he can be a lead blocker. He can be a 1.5 to 2.5 yards per carry guy. And he can get out and catch the ball. Imagine having to stop the screen pass with him out there as a lead blocker, or him being able to catch the screen pass when you're set up to stop a heavy run. And then you've got Breda, And then you've got Coleman, and then you've got Mostert back there. How do you beat that? Oh, and on top of all of that, they're working about an offensive line that was, in fairness, average during the regular season. In terms of efficiency, they were about 14th in the league. But they were also missing left tackle Joe Staley, who is back and has been playing well in these playoffs. Had one of the lowest QB pressure rates on his side of the ball when he was healthy. And had he been there all season long, this 49er offensive line likely would have been a top 10, maybe top 8 unit in the league. And that was against a schedule that was loaded with talented defensive lines. The Rams, the Seahawks a couple of times, the Saints, the Ravens, all of them, and all of them had difficult times getting to Jimmy G. If Jimmy G was behind an offensive line that was in the 20s, he would not be here. He would not have carried past that in despite of that. So when I put all those things together, as much as I love Kansas City, Kansas City has to have the ball to score. San Francisco does not have to throw the ball to score. San Francisco can have Jimmy G throw the ball 8-9 times and win the football game. Because they can run it 35, 40, 45 times, and guys won't be in the double digits in carries with four capable runners coming out of the backfield. So I'm leaning San Francisco. I'm picking San Francisco. This game, I don't think, is going to be the high-scoring affair most folks think that it's going to be. This game is going to be a game in the low 20s, upper teens, low 20s. I am leaning San Francisco 24-20. I think Patty Mahomes is going to score a handful of touchdowns, like three, so I'll say 24-21. But I think San Francisco is going to do the one thing that the couple of teams that have beaten Kansas City have done this year, which is keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. It is what they are built to do. The Texans last week, 2 weeks ago, in the AFC game, the Texans were able to do that for a quarter, and then they let up. When the Titans beat the Chiefs back on November 10th, what did they do? Healthy dose of running the ball right up the gut. That's what San Francisco was built to do. Jimmy Garoppolo is a decent little quarterback. He's a decent little quarterback. They need him to be accurate enough to keep defenses honest so that the four-headed monster of the Niners can do what they need to do. All right, go ahead and run to our final break of this hour. When we come back here in just a minute, I have a sports fan opinion that I have expressed on the air many times, and it is without question my most bad guy opinion of all time. And even though I'm here to impress you, to make you like me, to help me earn this job, I think it's only fair that I show you my true colors one time and see how it sticks. I'm Rob Brown. He's Diesel. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. Diesel and I have found common ground once again, ladies and gentlemen, and it is not just comparing Mark Ryan to nerdy television characters, which Mark Diesel did, not me. I've defended your honor, sir.
And he still didn't come in to defend
him. He didn't. I have to tell you.
To fight back.
When I said the mic was open for Mark Ryan to come to defend himself, I assumed that door was going to get kicked off the hinges, and it did not open, which means he's not even listening.
Or he's too scared.
Oh.
Fear is a powerful drug.
Let's talk about that thing I wanted to talk about, though. We found common ground during this break. And it was this. I want all of my money back from the last three Star Wars movies. And I want it doubled back for wasting my time. I'm a Star Wars dork. You will get to know me if I get this job, hopefully. And one of the things that you will know, I'm like an onion. I have many layers.
Yeah.
One of them is sports jock dude. I'm going to show up in a flannel shirt with a t-shirt under it and a backwards baseball cap, ready to go out in the yard and toss around the pigskin a little.
So what you're saying is you're Ashton Kutcher.
Yes, I'm Ashton Kutcher from the ranch. But I'm also a nerd. I'm also a dork. I'm a comic book dude. I'm a video game guy. If you play Xbox, you can friend me RLBrown385 on the Xbox Live. If you want to go in that direction, I am a Star Wars dork. I'm a Marvel dork. I'm in for all of it. And these last three Star Wars movies, atrocious. It started with potential with Force Awakens, and then basically Disney was like, how can we sell a bunch of stuff? How can we play to woke hashtag cancel culture and turn this into something? And instead, they took the most beloved American film franchise of all time and created a three-movie thing that the actors that were in it hate. They hate it.
You ever heard that saying that nobody hates Star Wars like Star Wars fans?
Yes, I have. And it's largely true, okay? I will still go back and watch the original trilogy all the time. I watched the entire thing over Christmas break. One of the channels, it was Spike or whatever, had a marathon on. And I sat like the fat, worthless piece of trash I am and watched 9 hours of the original Star Wars. No problem. The new ones are garbage. I didn't even hate the prequels. I didn't hate them. They weren't great, but I didn't hate them. I'm just glad that we're on the same page here, Diesel. It's important to start off on the right foot, and the fact that you also hated the sequels makes me happy. I feel like we can be successful.
I didn't hate the sequels. I told you I didn't like the prequels.
I thought you said you didn't like the sequels.
I didn't like the prequels.
So you liked the sequels?
They were okay.
Ugh.
They were okay.
Ugh.
It was Disney-fied them in a lot of ways. They can fly now? Oh, they can fly now. Oh, I guess they can fly now. Come on.
My favorite
That's
one.
Dumb.
My favorite one is that they can force lightsaber fight from hundreds of miles away from each other. Like they can actually fight each other.
If they can't touch each other, how come their lightsabers can touch each other?
Because the movies were stupid. That's why. And yes, I 100% planned on giving you my bad guy sports take here, but this is more important. So I'm going to save that for when we come back at the top of the hour. It's my Razor Ramon Ric Flair bad guy topic of the day. Stick around. I'm coming up with that.
You are eager to tell that story, and eager is your word.
Gosh,
your
why chance. Are you so eager to say that word, Diesel?
Here's your chance at free money. It's the $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate. The keyword is eager. Text that keyword to 72881. That's 72881. Good luck. It's the $1,000 free cash stash on ESPN Upstate.
Eager to get my money back.
Well, you're not going to get it.
I know.
You're not going to get it.
I know. You know what? And here's the worst
part. You know
what?
How about this? How about you start a YouTube channel where you just bash on the new trilogy?
For nothing.
There's 1,000 of them.
Here's the reality, and this is the hard part about being a sports fan too, which I want to talk about in the next hour. Next hour is going to be a lot of touchy-feely stuff. I'm pretty excited. Here is the problem that I realize. Not only am I not going to get my money back from those terrible sequels, but on top of that, Diesel, the next time I get a handful of days of vacation, you know what my next plan is? Go to Disney World and give them money to go to the Star Wars land down there. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to whine and complain about how much Disney screwed up the movies. And then I'm going to go, here's $1,000. I want to see the Millennium Falcon because I'm an idiot. Stick around. I got an hour left with you here on ESPN Upstate. My name is Rob Brown. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't go anywhere.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.